Well, that conference was awesome, wasn't it? The presence of God was with us. God was really speaking. And I think he's continuing to speak that this morning. And I love that song, Will You Ride With Him? And yeah, it makes me think of, will you work with him? You know, will you toil with him? Will you walk with him? You know, we were hearing that. We also heard this morning, be patient with the process. A lot of people bail because it doesn't happen as quick or in the way that they think. And then I also heard, see what I am producing. But this is something that man cannot produce. Man tries to produce, but only God can produce. Man tries to produce it with technology. He tries to produce it with the effects of man. But what God is doing, man cannot produce. Only God can produce. And I heard him saying, you know, through that song all weekend, I felt it was a theme. Will you ride with me? Will you ride with me? Will you go with me? So let's pray. And I feel like the Lord has been speaking to us. If you remember last month, I came and I shared a message. And the message was seeing what God is saying, seeing what he is saying, and that we're to position ourselves to see what he is saying. Hallelujah. Not only to hear, but to see it. And when you have eyes to see as well as ears to hear, then you'll have a heart to comprehend. And when you wrap your heart around it and begin to work with him, then God will produce something you cannot produce by yourself. Donnie made this statement. He said, when you were born again, you were born into a war. You were born into the war of the ages. And a lot of people just, they don't really grasp the depth of that or the seriousness. Lord, we pray this morning, Lord, that you would show us how to work with you. Not for you, not run for you, but work with you. So we can see you produce what we cannot produce ourselves. That we might see you produce in us, in our church, in our families, in our lives, what we cannot produce in ourselves. We thank you for what you're doing, God. Hallelujah. Forgive us if our hands have been on this. Forgive us, Lord. Show us how to work with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to come. Revelation that we would see something we haven't seen. And wisdom to know what to do with what you show us. In Jesus' name. Last time I was here, we looked at Habakkuk 2. And we talked about Habakkuk positioning himself, you know, to watch and see what God would say to him. And so, like I'm saying, when you station yourself on a guard post, it's because you're supposed to be on guard. When you station yourself to see, you're supposed to see. When you station yourself to hear something, then you're supposed to hear it. That's why Jesus would say, people have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. And they may see something with their eyes and hear something with their ears, but their hearts don't really comprehend. If they did, they would turn again to me and I'd heal them. And when we turn with all of our hearts to him, then God produces what we can't produce. It says, the eyes of the Lord are roaming to and fro throughout the earth, looking for a heart that is completely his, that he might strongly support it. You want God's support? Make sure your heart's completely his, because whatever is incomplete, he's going to change. Thank you, Lord. When we station ourselves on a guard post, we're looking. And we're watching for the enemy. And what we heard all this weekend is we don't do spiritual warfare. We are spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. All the things that talk about in him and in Christ are our inheritance. Those are things that should accompany us. The foundation is having Jesus himself in my life. Hallelujah. The key verse of that whole book that we looked at last month was, the righteous will live by faith. And we saw how each person who would live by faith impacted his particular epoch of time. We saw that Habakkuk used that was the same verse that Paul used several places in the scripture. The righteous will live by faith. In Romans and Galatians to a church that was starting to get back into law and legalism. And Paul used the righteous will live by faith. Hebrews used it. The righteous shall live by faith. All throughout history, that verse impacted many people, many situations, many nations. It impacted Martin Luther when he read that scripture, the righteous shall live by faith. And he was living by works. And it impacted him. It changed his heart. And he took a stand, and it impacted his particular epoch of time. And it brought a change from what was the norm, which was Catholicism, to bring us into another dimension, which, of course, man put his hands on. We saw the impact of what Isaiah saw when he came into the very presence of God and how it changed him, and that there were more scriptures about the fulfillment or the coming of the Messiah in the book of Isaiah than in any of the other prophetic books. It changed his life. Jesus pointed to Isaiah, said, what he saw, I'm talking about. Pretty cool. We saw the impact of that. We challenged each of us to pray and ask God to help us to see what he was saying so we could impact our particular epoch of time. And we talked about that on Friday night too. You know, that we're here for this particular epoch of time. And God is always going to impact through every season. But I'm in this season. And so are you. And the challenge to you and me is, are we impacting this particular epoch of time? Are we representing him? Are we allowing our light to shine in such a way people see Jesus? Hallelujah. Isn't that good? So today I want to expand on that term. Working together with Christ as a very relevant and needed perspective in our time. What we are to do while we're being watchful, while we're living by faith, while we're being alert, while we are watching. So, Lord, I pray again that you would continue to move in our midst. May we see, hear, understand, comprehend, and may our hearts be more and more turned toward you, that you can produce through us what we cannot produce in our own strength. And forgive us for trying to produce something that only you can produce. Hallelujah. We apologize, Lord. We repent. We ask you to now use even the likes of us, hallelujah, to impact whatever days we have left. Turn to Mark, the 16th chapter. Mark 16. The book of Mark. Matthew, Mark. Mark 16. Let's look at verses 19 and 20. So then, when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. That means he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and yet while they were working, he was working with them. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Man can't produce that. Only God can do that. The phrase "work together with them" is the Greek word synergio, or synergale, something like that. It means worked together, working together. Jesus continued to work together with them even though he had ascended to the right hand of the Father. He worked together with them by the leading of the Holy Spirit. He said, "I won't leave you orphans. I'll send another. And when he comes, he'll guide you into all the truth." Aren't you glad? And so, as we are looking for the Lord to restore the kingdom of God to a place where it is not only proclaimed in all the earth, but modeled in all the earth, as Matthew 24 says, "As lawlessness increases, the love of many will grow cold." That's their love for God, their love for each other, their love for the lost. Everything that's going on in the world really causes people to question stuff. People have put their faith and process in their theology and concepts. All of a sudden, God starts changing everything. Brings really, I don't know what word to use, except people then begin to lose heart. They begin to pull back. It wasn't what they thought. But when our faith and confidence is in Jesus alone, then we know only he can produce what this word says he will do. Not men producing it for God, but God producing it in spite of us. We are spiritual warfare. It says, as lawlessness increases, most people's love will grow cold. Yet, the one who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed, kenigma, proclaimed in all the earth as a witness, and then the end will come. A witness of him being central. Hallelujah. That is so cool. In order to see that happen, we have to work together with Christ. It's not something we can produce. It's not something we can produce in ourselves. It's something he's already done, and it's something we move in. Right to the end. Turn to Ephesians 3. And like we were learning in this whole conference, is God's awakening us to this. We knew it, but he wants us to know it. And so he's awakening us to this. Like Donnie, when he was sharing out of Zechariah, it was almost like, here's this guy, you know, in the presence of God, and God rouses him and awakes him, you know. And I was like, well, he thought he was already awake. He thought he was seeing a, you know, a vision. But God roused him because he wanted him to see beyond the, even beyond the supernatural to him. Hallelujah. In Ephesians 3, and we touched on this starting with verse 8, Paul wrote, Ephesians 3, verse 8, "To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light," or to bring into focus, bring to light, "what is the administration, the stewardship, the the stewardship of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, in order that the manifest wisdom of God," I mean that's the wisdom that God shows, "manifest wisdom of God might now be made known through us, the church, to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose," or the purpose of the ages, "which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him." There's a proclamation that is made through the church when the church knows its identity is in Christ. When the church knows it's Jesus taking his rightful place as head And he begins to move through that and produces something that man cannot produce in himself. The eternal purpose of God is made known to all the nations, through the church in every epoch of time. A lot of people would call it a remnant, you know, or a group of people. People who see it, embrace it, allow God to build it, allow God to do it. When that begins to happen, there are people that we find all over the place. Through you, through me, working together with Christ. Unless he builds a house, we labor in vain. But what's our job? We're to work with him. If he's to watch a city, what's our job? To watch with him. Okay. And as he begins to do that, we do it in our home groups. We do it in our families. We do it in our corporate outreaches. We do it in our conferences. We do it in prayer meetings, corporate gatherings. That was so good that we had 11 or 12 churches represented here through the conference, and we had churches from Mexico here, and God was doing something that was boggling everybody's mind. Because man can't produce that. And, to have the worship that we had this morning with both, the Mexicans and the Americans working together and producing, that, I don't know about you, that was awesome. You know? And it just gives you a little picture of eternity when we all gather together and we all start worshiping and this sound just starts, you know, it's like, wow. See, this unity not only happens as a leadership team models plurality, they model how we work together, they model biblical eldership, but also as the whole body comes together. And people... don't realize is they look for the leadership to do something. But the leadership is supposed to equip you for the body to arise. When the body arises, then something is produced that the leadership cannot produce by themselves. They can't do that. It takes God working through them. So that's why some of the misrepresentation of that is sad. Because it's a misrepresentation of what God wants to do. He wants the whole body to rise up and work together and model a kingdom lifestyle that works together with Christ and works together with each other and model a kingdom lifestyle as a witness. See, we've seen folks not only getting saved who have never heard the gospel, but also those that are coming out of organized religion. Disillusioned by what had been proclaimed to them as truth and what the church was supposed to look like. And in Romans 8, let's look at it real quick. Pray for me that I will get this in today. Romans 8, verse 18. I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. All creation is waiting eagerly for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also would be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Aren't you glad you have that freedom? A freedom in him. It says all creation is anxiously waiting. Wow. We know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, Paul said, we also in ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, having even experienced it and tasted it, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope, we have been saved. Hope that is seen is not hope. For that is one hope in something they don't see. But if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. For in the same way the Spirit helps our weakness, for we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit helps Himself and intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. See, when folks come out of the religious system, they come out with their baggage, don't they? They have their, I call it when a person comes in and he sees our relationship with Jesus, and they see our relationship with each other that has been cultivated and that God has been producing. And they see our heart for the lost. They want that. The problem is they got these two bags. What are you thinking? But they come in with these two bags and they're fine until they start to unpack. And when they unpack, here comes their dirty laundry, here comes their pet theologies, here comes all their stuff that they picked up along the way. And it's our job as men and women of God to help them unpack, to help them understand that that was not a representation of the kingdom, that was a cardboard replica. But the kingdom is what we're going to be living it with an eternal perspective. How we live in eternity is how we're supposed to live. We have to help people unpack. That's why Paul says a little bit later in verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Notice, to work together for good. Same word. Synergia. So, do we know that? That's why he says in Romans 8:28, for we know. We need to know that God has a plan and He's going to produce something that we can't produce ourselves. And when we join Him in that, He does this thing that is amazing. And man tries to give us credit for that. Right? Come on, it happens all the time. Yeah? We get up, God moves mightily in our life, and then somebody comes up and says, oh boy, weren't you something? How do we handle that? I'm telling you, somebody that preaches all the time, I get that sometimes. And there's this thing in me that's like, oh, stop. You know, and you really have to be careful that that doesn't happen, because that's pride. See, and what people don't realize, it's like, how many of you know that Jesus Christ, that's not His last name. Hi, I'm Jesus Christ. I'm Owen Carey. Glad to meet you. No, it's Jesus the Christ. All right. Christ means anointed one. Jesus, the anointed one. When you read the first book of John, you know, the epistle, he talks about you all have an anointing. Is that right? You know why you all have anointed? Why you have an anointing? Because you have the anointed one. So if you have the anointed one, we all have an anointing, and we're supposed to all know. And so because we don't, and I learned this one time years ago, we were planting the church in Concord, and we had this joint New Year's Eve service with this guy who was, well, I won't tell you what he was, but... Yeah, he loved the Lord. He was a great guy. And we got together and we were having this joint New Year's Eve service. And he said, when the service is over, we'll just worship and then we'll go downstairs and we'll have some refreshment. I was like, ah, that's great. But right as the service was winding down, he said, I'll be right back up to make an announcement. And he goes up and he goes, and the service, ha! After the service, refreshments will be served right downstairs. And so I'm kind of like, what the heck was that? You know. And so when he came, and I mean, I was just naive, you know. I didn't know. I hadn't really expected that. That's not what I was brought up in, you know. And so he came and he sat down next to me, you know. And I go, wow, what was that? And he said, what was what? I said, henda, ha, ha. He said, well, that's the anointing. I don't picture God walking around heaven and go, ha, ho, ha, he, ha. That was a learned thing. See, and what people should say is when God moves powerfully for us, through us, we shouldn't come up and say, oh boy, weren't you something? We should say, we see more of the anointed one today than you. We saw more of the anointed one. Then who gets the glory for that? He does. See, no matter what it is that God, we need to be working together with Christ, with the anointed one. Hallelujah. The eternal purpose of God is coming into focus. Not centered around any other man except the man, Jesus Christ. God is causing all things to work together toward that end. And you better know it. Right? Come on. That's what Paul was trying to say. That's the word. Synergio, working together. See, he's not after religion. He's not after theology. He's after a relationship. He loves you. He loves me. That's hard for this to comprehend, isn't it? That the God of the universe cares about me. But he does. That's why it says in verse 29, after he says, we know that God's working all things together. No matter what's going on, I look at the world and people, they have all their opinions about what's going on. And I go, do you think God's asleep at the switch? We got to do something. Go ahead, have at it. Because I know God has a plan. And I'm not in this world's hands. I'm in God's hands. Verse 29 says, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we have to work together with him in the process, don't you think? He will use all things to accomplish his eternal purpose. He'll cause all things to accomplish the plan of the ages, and he'll even use us. And if we can walk humbly in it, he'll use you more and more. And if you don't, he has a way of helping you become humble. Because that's what the scripture says. He humbles the proud. Right? I don't know about you, but I don't want to get it in a special ed class. I want to see it, and I want to humble. He says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He'll exalt you in due time. Yeah, the question is, do you believe it? See, have you noticed that we're all different? Have you noticed that? Different gifts, different areas to serve, different effects. And when we function together like we did this morning, it's a miracle. When we come together and begin to work together, it's a miracle. My, my. And people who don't understand it, that's why we have denominationalism. We have the fellowship of the hands and the fellowship of the feet. And they're all part of the body. And they all have a piece of it. You know? Rather than learning how to work together, even though we're different from one another, when that begins to happen, a miracle takes place and God produces something we can't produce ourselves. Turn to James 2. Turn to the book of Jimmy. And this is an interesting one too, because this has been a faith in work, you know, faith in works. You know, people battled it for years, and it's so cool that James took it and put some structure around it. Verse 22, he says, "You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.'" James was saying, you see that faith was working together with works. They were working together. You're not saved by works, but you're saved for good works. Is that right? So faith has to, there's that Greek word, synergio. Faith was working together with works. Hallelujah. Works was working together with faith. It's not faith and faith, nor is it dead works, but it's faith and works working together. That is what is so unique about the body of Christ. We get a piece of truth and we make a doctrine with it. Then it becomes all about the doctrine rather than working together with others who see it a little differently. That's why we have different convictions, you know. Synergy. It's where we get our word. Synergio is where we get our English word for synergy. Synergy is the interaction or cooperation of two or more organizations, substances, or other agents to produce a combined effect greater than the sum of the separate effect. There is more of a witness when we all work together than one person working for Christ. It's called bodiness. We saw bodiness today. Different languages, yet worship together. Wouldn't even known it. So cool. A body of folks working together for a representation of the kingdom coming to our location, just like it is in heaven. Working together no matter where, New York or New Hampshire, Mexico or Africa. Doesn't matter, we work together. I've been able to see God do some amazing things in Africa, and we're all seeing God do amazing things in Mexico and even in America. With the likes of us. Bodiness. Coming together. People loving God. People loving one another. Even though they look different. Have different gifts. Have different convictions. But learning how to work together. For the sake of the kingdom. And to represent Jesus. We are spiritual warfare. If we understand that, then when we come into a new locale, we should find where the other believers are who know who they are in Christ and join them, and something takes place that's called a miracle. And God produces something that we can't produce. And if we walk humbly, then we won't come back and say, "Boy, look what I did." We should be saying, "Look what God is doing. Look what God has done. Wow." People loving God and loving one another, even they look different, have different gifts, different convictions, but learning how to work together for the sake of the kingdom and representing Jesus. Listen, think about Jesus. He worked together with fishermen, tax collectors, hard-headed men, doubters, even one who would betray him. But he worked together with them to represent his kingdom. That's amazing. When this happens, the enemy comes, and what does he try to do? He wants to bring division. He tries to bring strife. That's why God knew that. When this happens, the enemy comes. He wants to bring disagreement. We have to be alert. We have to be on guard. That's what a lot of this was about, the spiritual warfare that comes within the church, from without and from within. And that was what some of the workshops were. You know, it was talking about how to deal with the disunity that the enemy tries to bring in to affect the unity that God brings. The equipping process, the serving, is the building up to the body of Christ into the unity of Christ, to one man. That's great. And so we should spot the disunity when it comes in, and we should speak to it. Proverbs 18:1 will come into play when you do that. Proverbs 18:1 says, "He who separates himself quarrels against sound wisdom. A fool only delights in revealing his own mind." I don't know about you, but over the years, man, I've had people have to speak into my life. Don speaks into my life. People in our church back home speak into our life. I remember we had these people come in. They wanted to build with a New Testament model, so they came to watch us. And it just so happened in that service that I preached, and when I was done, Bob France, he's our oldest elder, he's 96. John and him are in competition. But Bob France came up to me after the service and he said, "Owen, did you mean to say boom, 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 boom?" I said, "Did I say that?" He said, "Yeah, you did." I said, "That was wrong." So I get right back up and I go up and I say, "Hey, before we're all done, Bob just brought to my attention that I said this and I was wrong. I repent." Later, we had that group come over, you know, to meet with the leaders. Their leadership came to meet with our leaders. And this one guy said this to me. It stunned me. He said, "Owen, what you did Sunday morning, I've never seen a minister do." I said, "What?" He said, "Admit he was wrong? Publicly repent? Doesn't the scripture say in repentance and rest is our salvation?" Man, the minute we think we're above somebody speaking to us or above us making a mistake, we begin to move in pride. We were having a service one time. The service was going. My little daughter, Nicole, she only had, I don't know what age she was, maybe 10, if that. And we're all worshiping, and she waves a piece of paper at me. And I go, not now, honey. And I went on preaching, you know. Then she comes halfway down the aisle with a piece of paper. I said, "Not now, honey, just a minute." This time she comes all the way up. I said, "All right, let me see, what is it?" And I opened the paper, and it said, "Let the Spirit flow." Put the paper in my pocket. Said, "Could a worship team come back up?" And the Holy Spirit just fell on that meeting. It was powerful. Are we that flexible? Well, I do too. I think he's bringing us there. I'm not sure we're there yet. I think we're on our way to it, but we're not there yet. I think we will. Wow. In the past year, the enemy has been probing us in New Hampshire, and he did like 8 different times. The enemy tried to get in and cause division or strife. And fortunately, God gave us wisdom in each situation, and we headed it off. Corporately, individually, just amazing type of things that the enemy tries to do to bring strife and division. And I knew part of it was because we were going to have a spiritual warfare conference. But I think that's going to increase. And so God is preparing us. The reason we had the conference was we need to be equipped and prepared to deal with these type of things. And the easiest thing to spot is this bringing disunity or unity? It's an easy question to ask. That's why Jesus in John 17 said, I'm in the Father, the Father's in me. We're in you, you're in us. That the world may behold something that's different. And so the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit dwell together, okay, in unity, in community. And the basis of that community is fellowship and relationship. And that's what we're called into. That's what Jesus was praying. And so we should watch over that with all diligence. We should be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because the enemy tries to get in there. Second Corinthians 2:11 says, Satan is always seeking to gain an advantage. But we're not supposed to be ignorant of his schemes. When attacks or probes come, it means that Satan has seen something, discerned your potential, or the potential of the church in what you're doing. That's when he usually attacks. And so when it happens, identify it. Take the necessary steps and adjust. Hallelujah. All right, turn to 2 Corinthians 5. We okay? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You want a ministry? It's the ministry of reconciliation. Imploring people, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to him. You want the word? You want a word? The word of reconciliation. Be reconciled to God. You know? This is all about a relationship with the King of the universe. Hallelujah. Be reconciled to that. Find that out. It's imploring people to be reconciled to God. When that happens, the enemy is trying to bring discord. He doesn't want unity. He wants disunity. Proverbs 6:16-7 says there are six things that God hates, a seventh that is an abomination. One who sows of discord among the brethren. That's something is an abomination to God. You won't see that on a bumper sticker. Yeah. That's why many people are disillusioned. Many were never discipled. Many were not told or taught the complete gospel. It's not just the gospel of the kingdom, but it's also the gospel of salvation. The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of salvation is mentioned one time in the Bible, Ephesians 1:13. Every other place, it's the gospel of the kingdom. In Luke 4:43, Jesus said, I must proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, for I was sent for this purpose. The kingdom of God. The difference is the gospel of salvation, Jesus dies for you. The gospel of the kingdom, you die for him. Till you get to a place, now don't forget, Paul was in the religious system. He came out of the religious system. He had to unlearn and relearn. He spent 3.5 years in Tarsus, unlearning and relearning. And when he finally came out and finally put it together and finally came to Antioch and began to come into what God had for him, it all began to click and he began to put it together and he realized it was all about him. all that he had gone through, all that he had experienced. He had to die. But he didn't until he got to the place where he said, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live in the Son of God who indwells me. He had to learn that just like we have to learn it. He came out of it just like we've seen others coming out of it. And we need to be there to help them process that. Wasn't that good? Being ambassadors of reconciliation? Well, follow it down to chapter 6, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. And working together with him. There's your word. Synergio. Working together with him. And look at the list of things we work together with him and each other in. If you just follow through this, verse 3, dealing with offenses, modeling servanthood. Verse 4, servants of endurance, servants in afflictions, servants in hardships. Verse 5, servants in distresses, servants in beatings. How many of you have gotten beat lately? Servants in imprisonments, servants in tumults, servants in labor, servants in sleeplessness, servants in hunger, servants in purity, servants in knowledge, servants in patience, servants in kindness, servants in the Holy Spirit, servants in genuine love, servants in the word of truth, servants in the power of God, servants by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left. Verse 8, servants by glory and dishonor, servants by evil report and good report, servants that are regarded as deceivers and yet true. Verse 9, servants that are unknown yet well known, servants of dying yet behold, we live. Servants who are punished, yet not put to death. Verse 10, servants who are sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Servants who are poor, yet making many rich. Servants who have nothing, yet possess all things. Isn't that quite a list to work together with? We have all kinds of that in our midst. And yet God wants us to work together, wherever they're at. Whatever they're going through. Turn to John 17 for a minute. Working together is not working alone. Working together is not just pushing your own. You do have a gift, but I say this. What a man builds with his gifting, he can destroy with his character. Haven't we seen it? Unless we walk humbly with God, take heed to him who thinks he stand, lest he fall. We need to walk in that humility. In John 17, verse 21, this was kind of a key in some of the workshops, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just like we are, I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfected or matured into a unit, that the world may know that thou didst send me and dost love them even as thou loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou dost love me before the foundation of the world. A statement of unity to powers and principalities that are committed to disunity and destruction. The Trinity function in community. The basis of that community is fellowship and relationship. being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Hallelujah. No wonder we're to be stationed and on guard. No wonder we're supposed to be alert. Because the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, to take him out. And unless we're on guard for ourselves and our families and for each other, then the enemy comes in. If we think we're beyond that, you've fallen from grace. My, my, my. I want to end by giving a list of folks who were recognized in the Bible because they worked together with one another. And that's what they were known for. There are others listed, but there are particular folks listed as fellow workers. Son ergos. Fellow, son, working with, together with. Ergos, the work. Those working together in the work. I think it's become very clear to us and the Mexicans that we're working together. And we're both making sacrifices in our times for each other. Why? Because we want something to be seen that is not seen. The kingdom of God coming into focus, where no man can be slapped on the back for it. Good job, Owen. I didn't do that. God help us for taking credit for something God is doing. That's why it was so good to hear the message that was given to Wayne. You know, everybody knows Wayne is like a dad. Of course, he's got a daughter down there. He's married to Poncho. And so he has an investment. But he loves the Mexican people. And they know it. And so God, he acclimated that at this conference. Hallelujah. Because he wanted, says, let another praise you and not your own lips. Wayne wasn't, oh, cut it out, you know, give me more. I've learned he's a humble brother. I see a little of, like Paul must have been, when I see Wayne and the humility he moves in, and the character of what he tries to bring in. And him and Paul have laid down their lives, and this whole church has laid down its life so that something could be imparted, you know, in Mexico. And now they're coming back, and they're imparting to us. And we're learning from them. And there's an exchange that's taking place. Hallelujah. And one's not better than the other, but both are mutually interdependent on each other, and a miracle is taking place. I know. Let's look at a couple of these people. Look at Romans 16. And we're going to go through a bunch, so you're going to have to, if you just want to hear me, you can, but if you want to see it for yourself, you can turn to it. Romans 16, verse 3. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my son Ergos in Christ Jesus, my fellow workers. Isn't that cool? And you start looking through this list. Verse 9, greet Amphiletus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, my fellow worker in Christ. And Stachys, my beloved. And on and on. Verse 21. Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. Wow. 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. You guys are fellow workers with Christ. We all are. Isn't that cool? Philippians 2. Philippians 2, 25. And forgive me if I don't pronounce these names correct, but I'm trying. Philippians 2, 25. And I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister of my need, a fellow worker. Philippians 4, verse 2 and 3. I urge Odia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true comrade, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. You women are fellow workers with Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Colossians 4, verse 10 and 11. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings, and also Barnabas, his cousin Mark, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you now, welcome him. And also Jesus, who's called Justice. These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God, who are from the circumcision, and they have proved to be an encouragement to me. Identifying fellow workers in Christ is so important. Look at Philemon. You know where Philemon is, right? Right before Hebrews? We don't go to him real often. But Philemon, chapter 1, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker. Philemon 24. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you. As do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. And the last one, let's look at 3 John, right before Revelation and Jude. John 3:1-8. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and bore witness to your truth. That is, how you're walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers. And they bear witness to your love before the church, and you will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men, that we may be fellow workers with the truth. Fellow workers are those that walk in the truth. It can be seen. So why did Paul feel the need to list so many fellow workers? Many work for various reasons. Some work for themselves. Some people work for position, notoriety. Some function out of their own gifting as if it's all about them. Paul wanted a demonstration of an absolute impossibility. Faith working together with the Lord. It won't work apart from broken and humble people. Having this indelibly stamped upon our hearts and our minds. When we do outreaches, we have to do it together. One or two can't do it. It'll take the whole church working together to accomplish this. All of us have had to make sacrifices. All of us will continue to make sacrifices. But it's for the sake of the gospel, that the kingdom of God will go forth in a manifestation of a whole church working together for the gospel. Last week we had a move of an older lady who just joined the church. And I think there were 12 to 15 people that showed up at her apartment. Dismantled everything, loaded everything up, took her to the new place, put her in. And she sat there, and she has to be in a walker, and she's somewhat disabled, and she was crying. And I said to her, "Are you okay?" She said, "I've never seen such an example of love in my life." And I said, "Well, buckle up. I hope you see more of it." It should not be rare. It should be normal. Later that day, she said to her son, who later told me, he said, "My mom said, it's hard for me to believe that Owen is a pastor. He was here helping us. Isn't that sad? That's sad. We're supposed to lead by example. We're supposed to represent Jesus in every aspect." Somebody said, "Well, Owen, you're getting older. You're 78. I said, "Look, I'd much rather burn out than rust out. I'm going to continue to serve and lay down my life. And if I go from this realm, I'll go right into the next realm. And I'll continue to serve because the King of the universe is a foot washer." And the same goes with home groups, Bible studies, Sunday school, children's ministry, music, and on and on and on. It takes sacrifices all the way around. I want to commend both the young folks and the old folks, their determination to work together with the gospel for the kingdom of God coming in the earth. There won't be any division in eternity. When there was, he was cast out. And there was no place found for him. At this conference, we worked together with the folks from Mexico, included them in workshops. We chose to do that, to have them work with us in workshops, on worship teams, sharing from their lives, their families, because we have to work together to represent something that isn't being represented or is being represented in small pieces. I want it to be represented whole. Why? For a witness. Whether we go there or they come here, we're one. We're one. Hallelujah. We're one with the Mexicans. We're one with the Africans. Hopefully someday maybe I can take some Mexicans to Africa. Or I can bring some Africans to Mexico. Because this is the kingdom. Hallelujah. And when we sing that song, that Jesus is riding on this white horse, and he's saying, "Will you ride with me? Will you work with me in what I'm about to do?" Isn't that exciting? Let's take a minute and pray. And I really felt like the Lord wanted me to share that we need to continue to recognize what God is doing. Don and I use the term recognize, don't organize. Recognize what God is doing and join it. and then work together with him in what he is building. Unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches the city, the watchmen watching in vain. But I'll tell you what, I want to build with him. I want to watch with him. I want to work with him. Don't you? So let's take a minute and let's just quiet our hearts before the Lord. And I thought it was a call in that song from the Lord. Will you ride with me? Will you work with me? If you will, you'll accomplish far more than you could accomplish by yourself. I don't care how gifted you are. Yes, you can accomplish some things by yourself, but think what you can do when you work together with the saints. Lord, come and I pray, continue to change in us anything that's contrary, Lord, to your word. Lord, teach us how to work together. Thank you for Fountain of Love, Fountain of Life. Maybe it should be changed to Fountain of Love. Now, Fountain of Life has co-labored with the Mexicans for how many years? 30 years to come to a place to where it's beginning to gel and happen. And I spent some time talking with some of the Mexicans, and you guys got it. You got it. You see the centrality of Jesus. You see the kingdom coming into focus. What a privilege. So Lord, make the adjustment in any of us that needs to be made. And move so powerfully in our lives, Lord, to accomplish what only you can accomplish. To produce what only you can produce. And if we've tried to produce it in our own strength, we repent. If we tried to take it in a particular direction over the years, one way or another, we repent. If you're not the central focus of everything that's been happening, we repent. And we ask you to ride into our lives on that white horse, God. And encourage us to ride with you, to work with you in what you are about to accomplish. Forgive us for having our hands on it. We pray that you would move in power, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah.